This is the last Sunday for the round robin. I have introduced myself at other times as the roundest of the robins. It appears that this time, for this church, I am the caboose. It is good to be here, and I love sharing the Word of God. I have a handout, but Mike is going to arrange so that the handouts are on the table after you've come in for the morning service. So grab a handout on the way out. It's a handout. And what I am presenting, it's in the bulletin known as the family. And I had many ways I could have gone on the subject of the family. The Lord led me to present in a fashion that I don't think I've ever done before. Arbitrarily, I am giving truths from the book of Proverbs that you ought to teach your children. And the children, as they grow up, they are able to take more and more teaching, understanding. And as a result, on the handouts, you will find a number before each little paragraph or each list of scriptures. The number refers to the age at which you might discuss that subject with your children. Now, I said it's arbitrary because children are different. And you've got to seek the Lord's guidance as to when to deal with each of these subjects. Once you teach the subject, and by the way, don't just share a scripture with them, and that's it. Share the scripture and then talk about it with them. Discuss it with them. Okay, now, from day one, from the day you're born, there are three things that children ought to be taught and understand. First of all, if you would turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Now, chains may make us think of captivity, but no, the chains here beautiful, probably something like a necklace. The parent from day one will try to teach you simple truths. And the young person does well to take these truths to heart and obey them. Simple things like right and wrong. And if they learn how to obey, their lives are going to be a lot simpler, a lot better. I think I have shared with this group before, but nevertheless, my son had twins. When they were about 1 year old and playing on the floor, having a good time, and he would call one of them, break up the good time. Jonathan, come here. And Jonathan would come. My son would pick him up, give him a hug, tell him he loves him, and then tell him he can go back and play. Just teaching obedience. And because of having done that, they have had no major problems with the kids. A second basic truth: children must be disciplined according to their age and according to the severity of the offense. Let's go to chapter 3. And verse number 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. If a parent loves you, that parent will correct you when you're doing wrong. Now, we have young people with us today in Sunday school. Glad to have you. And I hope you stay for church, because a lot of things that will be shared, especially in church, are going to be right down your alley. At any rate, a parent who loves their child will discipline the child. But young people are wise enough to know, generally, one parent is more of a disciplinarian than the other. And children will often go to the easiest one. And the easiest one is often mom. Not always, but often mom. You're the soft touch, mom. That child may have gone to dad and been told no. But if the child then goes to mom and is told yes, then the child feels justified in doing whatever it was because he was told yes. Mom and Dad, be very careful. When your child asks permission for something, it's a good idea. Did you ask your father? Or have you asked your father? And if so, what did he say? Or Dad, did you ask your mother? What did she say? Don't let them play you one against the other. You got to have your act together. The third thing you need to teach your children, and by the way, that second thing, that discipline is an act of love on the part of the parent. The third thing, children must learn about God from day one. Turn back to chapter 1. And verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord, the beginning of knowledge, you need to start right off letting your child know that there is a God, that you believe in that God, that you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, and you can't teach your child all about God in the first 2 or 3 years. I mean, some of us, I was talking to Bob before the service, 84, I'm 83. I think we both would admit that we don't know God in his fullness. God is so great that a human just does not have the capacity to know God in his fullness. We learn more and more about God as the years go on. But start teaching your children about God from day one. Let them hear you pray and teach them to pray. Sing hymns so that they become familiar with hymns. Better that they become familiar with the hymns than with the music of this world. All right, now, having said that, we're going to go on and, let's talk about a five-year-old. A five-year-old ought to learn that God sees everything you do. You say, that's a scare tactic to make a child behave. No, it's a Bible truth to make a child behave. Not a scare tactic. Turn to Proverbs chapter 15. And verse number 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Look, God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Right? Omnipresent. That means he is everywhere. That means if you are alone in a room, a simple illustration for a five-year-old, my mother would make a batch of cookies and tell us, don't eat them, we're having company tonight. And she would put them in a little cookie container, the top lifted off, and it was the figure of a boy, we called him Jan, and my mother might be on the phone in the other room out of sight of the kitchen, and I would stealthily go out into the kitchen and lift up the top of Jan and reach in, get a cookie, quietly put the top back down, stay out in the kitchen and eat the cookie while my mother was still on the phone. I thought I was all alone out there. Guess who was right beside me? Not my mother. She was on the phone. God. God saw what I was doing. We can't get away with anything without God seeing it. And you may think that what you're doing is completely undetected, but you forget God. It's important for a young person to know this. Yes, it should help keep him on the straight and narrow. When a child is 6 years old, maybe first grade, the child has gotten acquainted with other children and perhaps come to see that some children don't seem to have the parental care that he does. Talk to your child over the supper table. When I was a child, we had supper together, the whole family. And when my family was growing up, we had supper together, the whole family. And we would talk about the day's activities, both good and not so good. It was a time of bonding and keeping communications open. You might want to drop down, you're in chapter 15. If you drop down to verse 17, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. The importance of love in the family. And talk about that with your kids. The importance of love. And each person should feel loved. Each person should feel a real part of the family. Now, at age 7, and by the way, you can talk about families where there isn't love, and let your children know that not all families have love. One of the wonderful things about having supper together, you can talk about the good things and the bad things, like a kid misbehaving in school. You can talk about that and learn the lessons to be learned from that. Okay, at age 7, kids begin to have pride. They begin to brag about how good they are. I recall the story of an 8-year-old. And the 8-year-old into baseball, loved baseball. And his grandfather and grandmother came to visit. And not 5 minutes into the visit, when the 8-year-old said, "Grampy, Grampy, come out to the backyard. I want to show you what a good hitter I am." And so Grampy dutifully went out to the backyard, and his grandson picked up a bat and got a ball, tossed the ball in there, and swung and missed. Completely unabashed by it, he picked up the ball again, tossed it, and swung and missed. You say, that's not good for the ego. Well, he picked up the ball a third time, tossed it up, and swung mightily, and missed mightily, and turned to his grampy and said, "Grampy, see what a good pitcher I am?" We have to be good at something. And society encourages this, right? Your grandson or your granddaughter gets A's in school, and we're proud of them, and perhaps they say, "I got the best mark in the class." Wonderful. Who should get the glory for that? Who gave you the brains to get A's? To God be the glory. But we tend to praise children up to the hilt. I think what we can say legitimately to the child is, you know, God has given you a good mind, and I'm pleased to see that you're using it in your studies. Now, one reason that God led me to this approach in teaching the book of Proverbs is that oftentimes in this book you see Proverbs addressed to my son. In other words, the book of Proverbs is a book to teach your children lessons about life. My son, give me thine heart. My son, my son. All right? We need to learn to fear God. To fear God. You say, I don't understand. Well, I loved my dad. But if I misbehaved, I had a certain fear of Dad. That is, I knew when he got home and heard what I had done, judgment would fall. You know, it's strange. Around the time Dad is due home, guess who was very quiet and hard to find? Yeah, yeah. Maybe some of you folk can relate to that. Well, to learn the fear of God, Proverbs chapter 3, and verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You see how fear and depart from evil kind of connected. If you don't depart from evil, you better fear the Lord. And the Lord has various ways of disciplining his children. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, the Lord has various ways of disciplining you. You don't get away with anything. You need to realize this. Chapter 1 and verse 10. When your children are perhaps 8 years old, teach them the importance of the word no. And when to use that word. Chapter 1, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If the kids want you to do something that is not right, and maybe pressuring you, everyone else is doing it. Come on. You need to learn if the thing to do is wrong, you need to learn to give not just a no, but a very firm no. No, I'm not going to. You know, there are no's that, no, but keep on asking me and you may get your way. Then there are the very firm no. Like ask me again and it's going to be very much in vain. I'm not doing it. Learn to give a very solid, firm no. If sinners entice thee, you remember Nancy Reagan, President Reagan's wife, and she had a saying, I believe it related to drugs. Do you recall what it was? Just say no. Just say no. All right, let's go to Proverbs chapter 20. The importance of a good reputation. And you might discuss this when your child is 9 years old. A good reputation is of great worth. And how do you get a good reputation? By doing that which is right. By being obedient, by being respectful. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. You develop a good reputation day by day. And something you ought to learn about this world of ours, you can spend years developing a good reputation among people. And if you mess up, in something significant, down the tubes goes that reputation. They will remember your mess up. For example, if you shoplift from a store. And get caught. Oh, I remember Johnny. He started out so good, but he not so good anymore. Johnny can't be trusted. Be very careful what you do, and very careful to do the right things. And young people, if you feel sometimes that the mom and dad are rather hard on you, and they just don't understand, turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And verse 3. Dad having a talk with his son. And Dad tells him, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. I was once a young person." Can you imagine? Your parents were once young? He taught me also, that is, my dad taught me also, and said unto me, "Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live." Get wisdom, get understanding. "Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth." In other words, what you're going through now, your dad and mom went through when they were young. And what they are trying to do is keep you from some of the mistakes that they made growing up. And it's good to remember that. Now, if you would turn to chapter 19. Well, make that chapter 18, first of all. But the last verse of chapter 18. So it's almost chapter 19. Choose your friends carefully. This is very important. Your young people are going to make friends. Encourage them to make proper friends. I remember my son Gary, we would hear about Walter and Ken and Gary, the three of them, three amigos, having a wonderful time. They enjoyed each other's company. And then I began to notice, didn't say anything right offhand, but for a few months, I didn't hear anything about Walter. So one day I said to Gary, "What has happened to Walter?" And Gary said, "Well, he began to go the wrong way, get mixed up with things he shouldn't. And so I broke relations with him. It is so important who your friends are. Now, chapter 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You know, that should seem a very obvious statement. But there are people who don't care about others, who just care about themselves. Therefore, they don't show themselves to be friendly. I don't have any friends. Stop thinking of yourself all the time. Start thinking about others. You might have some friends. And the verse continues, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And many think of that friend as the Lord Jesus. I have no problem with that. What a friend we have in Jesus. Now, drop down a few verses, chapter 19 and verse 4. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Wealth maketh many friends. Do you understand that? Give me 5 minutes more. Wealth maketh many friends. Who in the Bible learned that? Yeah. I think of the prodigal son. You recall, he got the inheritance. He went out and spent it, had a great time. He and his friends lived it up. How long did he have friends? Till the money ran out. They weren't really friends at all. I recall a fellow from Vermont. His dad was a farmer. His dad would send down a shipment of maple sugar each spring. And oh, the friends that that fellow had, as long as the maple sugar was there and being distributed. When the maple sugar ran out, his friends ran out. Chapter 19 and verse 4. Wealth maketh many friends. But what's really loved there is the wealth. The money. Okay. Now, I heard that Bell, I am somewhat famous for going overtime. I think I still have about 2 minutes left. I am going to close out now, early. And I want you all as witnesses. The age of miracles hasn't passed. And Father, we thank you for the life lessons we've been talking about and how to train up our children. And I pray that you will help us to apply these lessons to our lives. Good lessons to know, to understand. Help us to grow in a right way. In Jesus' name, amen.